The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We've been talking about how we are a soul. And of course, we know that in the Word of God talks about the eternity of the soul. And I've shared with you over and over about Genesis 2:7 that God spirited into man or breathed the breath of life into man. That is our spirit that caused us to come to life. And we became a living soul. And I do not believe that you can separate the spirit and the soul. They are so intertwined with one another. The spirit's what's giving the soul life, and the soul has consciousness because of the spirit. But man cannot separate those two. We cannot, and we can't understand it, even in the scripture. The Word of God says that in Ecclesiastes, that your spirit is what goes back to the one who gave it. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you could get very confused about trying to understand the difference between soul and spirit. What we do know is this, that God created us in His image. Amen? The Word is very clear on that. And I believe that means that we are a triune being. We are a body, a soul, a spirit. We are Every part of that is very important. Yes, your body is going to die one day. Or Jesus is going to come back and it's going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. However, it's still going to be your body. You're still going to have a body. And when Jesus comes back, if you leave before Jesus returns, you're going to leave this body, but one day you're going to come back and be reunited with the body. So the body, soul, and spirit are all very important to God. And our spirit is what's giving us the life that we need. And in the spirit realm, our spirit man is very, very important because our spirit is what agrees with God and the Holy Spirit. But this soul is absolutely, this spirit and soul, they're absolutely going to leave this life someday. Are you prepared for that? That's what's very important. You need to be prepared. And the only way you can be prepared for that is to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood that your sins could be wiped away and you could be the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. If you believe that, if you receive that, if you live that, you're born again and you're prepared for eternity. Amen. I hope you're all prepared for eternity. Rich man said to his wife one day, "I want to take my wealth with me." So he told her to put it in a bag in the attic, and when I die, I'm going to grab it as I go up. Silly, isn't it? Well, he died. And the first thing she did was run up to see if the money was still there. Sure enough, there was the bag. And she said, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." Oh, that was bad, wasn't it? That was pretty bad. You heard that one coming in. Yeah. Oh, amen. I don't know how to redeem myself. Well, we got a choice. And that's the reason I'm talking about this, is that we have choices to make. And we have to make choices today in this life. We choose what's going to happen to us after this life. We choose whether we're going to serve the living God. And making Jesus Christ your personal Savior is just the beginning of that. We have a walk that we have to walk on a daily basis. We have to walk in the Spirit, is what we are told. Walk in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. It means that we listen to the Spirit, our spirit that is being motivated by the Holy Spirit, to do what is right based on the Word of God. But we have to know what the Word of God says to be able to conform our life to it. The Word says not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Glory. That's what we want to do. We want to have a transformed life. I hope that you're in here today, that your desire is to have a transformed life. To stop living the way that you always lived. To stop living the way that you lived yesterday. To transform that life into a new life. To have a different way of living. If you keep doing the same things that you're doing today, you're going to have the same results as you had yesterday. You've got to change. You've got to change. And the only way that you can change is to change your thinking based on God's Word. And when you decide to serve the living God, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions will be satisfied. Watchman Nee said, "I have never met a soul who has set out to satisfy the Lord and has not been satisfied himself." When we set out to satisfy the Lord, He wants good things in your life. He wants you to have pleasure. He wants you to have blessings. He wants you to have wonderful things in your life on a daily basis. But He wants you to be obedient to His Word. And if you will be obedient to His Word, you can expect His blessings. He is very clear on that. Now, His blessings are not always the things that we want and we expect all the time. But His blessings are always good, and yes, and amen. And we can thank God for them. In Psalms chapter 103, verse 1, David said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Bless the holy name of the Lord God. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Here we are, and you got to try to get a handle on and what I'm trying to talk to. I hope you can get an image of it. But I believe that the soul is the bridge between the spirit and the flesh. And on one hand, if you can just visualize this a little bit, on this side, on your right side, you got a rope tied to your arm, and you're standing on the bridge, your soul. And your spirit is trying to pull you over to the promised land where God is. Trying to pull you over to do the right things, to hear the right things, to follow after the right things. But on this other side, you got a rope on this arm, and your flesh is trying to pull you into the devil's land, into the wilderness, into the place where you will be broken down and beat up. It seems, here's the crazy thing about it. They appear to be opposite than what they really are. Because what the flesh says to us and makes us and tries to make us feel like is that it'll be wonderful when I follow after my flesh. It'll be pleasing. It'll be fantastic. And I'll have everything I ever wanted. But once you get over there, you find out that it's wilderness. It's a dry and dusty land. And on the other hand, we see this, the wonderful things of God, and if we're not careful, we'll visualize that as being too difficult and too hard to live God's way. And the reality is, if we follow after that, then we see the blessings. Our thirst is quenched. Our appetites are fulfilled in God, not in our flesh. I hope you're catching hold of this. You know, I want these good things for you. I want the Word of God to come alive inside of you. I want that living water that Jesus spoke to the lady at the well to bubble up, to flow out of you, come up inside of you and just flow out of your life. Because you see, when it flows out of you, it's not just for you. It's for everyone you come in contact with. It flows out of you and touches other people's lives. It flows in such a way that other people's thirst is quenched. It flows out of you. That's why it's very important. We got to stop looking at the things which are seen. We got to stop looking at the fleshly things. We got to stop looking at the world and recognizing or trying to align our life with the things of the world. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. It's the eternal things of God that we want to align our life with. David, the great psalmist, had a handle on this. In Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2, he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a man who is truly seeking after the living God, who has a desire that his appetites have been depressed and repressed in the flesh, and his appetites have become exalted in the spirit. He has a desire for spiritual things. Romans tells us this, Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh shall set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you see, when you set your mind, your will, your emotions, you have a choice. You have to choose. That's why I said the soul is the bridge between. In that area, it's where we choose to do God's will. Or we choose to do what we want and what the enemy would have us do. Excuse me. So this morning I'd like to pick up where we left off. And what I'd like to talk about, three practical ways that we can give our spirit preeminence in our life over our flesh. And we can make spirit decisions with our soul rather than fleshly decisions. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34, Jesus is talking to hypocrites, to religious leaders, and he says this, brood of vipers, how can you bring you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So Jesus is making it perfectly clear to us that what is inside of us is going to come flowing out of us. Out of the abundance of the heart, he said, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're putting into your heart, into your life, into your soul, as you feed your soul, believe it or not, you do feed your soul. How many realize you're feeding your soul every day? You feed your soul with negative TV or positive word. You feed your soul with gossip, or godly people speaking into your life. You feed your soul, and your soul will grow based on those things that you have. It will expand either into the spirit realm or into the fleshly realm based on what you feed it. You know, today they are making a big, big deal about all the kind of foods that we eat, right? You've heard, you know, they're trying to clamp down on McDonald's for some of the things that they're putting in their food and our processed food. And I got to tell you, I believe the processed food that we're eating is killing us. I believe that we We are without the nutrition that we need in our foods, and it is being very, very harmful to us. So we have a choice, don't we? Every one of us. We have a choice that we can either eat at McDonald's 5 days a week, or we can choose to eat properly. That's a choice that every one of us has to make. If you choose to eat at McDonald's every day of the week, every day, every work day for lunch, you're going to be in big trouble. Right? We all know. You know, there's been studies. People have done this. They've eaten for several days, and they find out that they're getting sick. Sicker and sicker and sicker every day. So, they have a choice to make, and we have that same choice in our feeding our soul, whether we're feeding it the good things of God or we're feeding it the things of this world. What are you feeding your soul on a regular basis? What are you eating every day? Are you dining at the banquet that God has prepared for you, His Word? Are you eating from the slop that the world has prepared for you? Because if you eat from the slop, you're going to get sick. Slop has a lot of bacteria in it, a lot of garbage. And it doesn't taste as good as you think it does. Really, it doesn't. You're being deceived. You've got to move away from that and eat the things of God. Here's what we've got to do. We've got to recognize the power that God has given us. We've got to recognize that we've got to stop. If we're going to feed our soul, we have choices to make. We got to stop going to places, doing things, reading things, watching things, being involved with things that destroy us, that pull us down. And we've got to start doing things, reading things, being encouraged by the Word of God and positive people in your life. Psalms 104, verse 4 says this, "Let those who want to do wrong stay away from me. I will have nothing to do with evil." How many know, listen, it's been a long time since my drug days. But one of the things that I realized early on when I became a believer in Jesus Christ was that I could no longer hang around with those guys that I used to smoke dope with and drink and take pills and do all those kind of things I used to do. I couldn't hang around with them anymore. Not that I hated them. I didn't hate them. It wasn't a matter of that. It was a matter of whether I was going to survive or not. Whether I was going to live. It was a matter of choice that I had to choose to stay away from the people that wanted to drag me down, drag me into the same lifestyle that they were living in. And they weren't necessarily evil people. They're deceived. And if you expect to change your life, you expect God to give you blessings in your life, you expect to change the direction of your life, you better get away from people that's drawing you down and pulling you down. You've got to change who you hang with. God has got good people for you to hang with. He wants you to change your friends. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be a witness to all those people out there. Do witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. But don't hang at their parties and do the same things that they do. Change your lifestyle. Let them see that you are living for Jesus Christ, not for your flesh anymore. Not for your desire. We've got to change the way we think. And the only way you can change the way you think is by taking that word, the word of God, and be conformed, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, the word says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right. Yes, sir.
Your mind can be transformed. I'm going to tell you something. I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind.
Hallelujah.
I am no longer the man that I used to be, the kid that I used to be when I came to Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I don't think the same way as I used to. I think more positive thoughts. I think more about God. I live to serve my living God, not to serve my flesh or to serve the things of this world. My life has been transformed. If you want your life transformed, you can't just make a confession, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I confess that He shed His blood on the cross for my sins, and then go on and live your life any way you want. You must make changes. You must see that the Word of God... There's a book out, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. His book is Change Your Brain, Change Your Life is the name of it. And here's what he says is the biggest problem in most people's lives. And that's the number one problem is everyone has ants on the brain. You have a colony of ants that has infested your mind. And you need to get rid of, you need to exterminate those ants. Now, what's he talking about when he says ants? Well, let me tell you, it's an abbreviation, acronym, I guess, right? Ants, it means automatic negative thoughts. And we all, whether you want to agree with it or not, we all have automatic negative thoughts. And those ants on the brain will destroy you. But if you will take the Word of God, I can guarantee you, if you'll take the Word of God and then still and take that Word and recognize and begin to apply it to your life, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. Scripture after scripture that tells you who you are in Jesus Christ, you will overcome, you will exterminate ants. Ants will die. Now, will they continue? Will they try to come back? Absolutely. That's why you've got to continue to know what the Word of God says. Continue to apply the Word of God to your life. Continue to stand on the Word of God, because you see, those ants will come back, particularly when you're having a difficult time, and that colony of ants will just try to run in there and overtake you. How many have ever seen ants? An army, you know, like a trail of ants going to something? Most of us have. The reason that they do that is that the scouts go out and they find what they're looking for, whether it's food or whatever. And when they take a piece of it, when they're on their way back, they lay down a trail, a scent trail, to that particular item. And they take it back to the nest. So when the ants, the colony, comes out to find that particular piece of food, they follow the exact trail that that worker, that scout, laid down for them. That's why when you see them come to an obstacle, everybody goes right around that obstacle. They go over top of it or whatever it is. They're following the scent trail. You lay down a scent trail in your life. There is a trail that the enemy, we have this great enemy of our soul. And he knows everything there is to know about you. He can't read your mind, but he can tell by your actions and your reaction to things. And he begins, because of the scent trail that we lay down with the ants in our life, he begins to put other thoughts in there. And he'll just bombard you with thoughts after thought after thought. But praise God, we have the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you hear what that's saying? You have it. You have the weapons that you need. Use those weapons. Use them to overcome. All right. Hallelujah. So the first thing is guard your heart. That was number one. Number two is feed your soul. We were just talking about that. And you feed your soul particularly with the Word of God. But one of the things that I have tried to share with people is this, that we can exterminate ants with pits, because pits are positive, intentional thoughts. You have to be intentional about your thoughts. You have to be intentional about the Word of God in your life. You have to be intentional about learning the Word of God. Some of you say, well, it's just too hard for me to memorize anything. This is life and death for most of us. I don't care how difficult it is. You need to get hold of the Word of God and memorize the Word of God. You may not know it word for word, but if you know the content of it, you understand what it's saying, you can stand on it and you can live by it. And you can exterminate those ants with positive, intentional thoughts in your life. Something else that we need to do. Praise God. Make sure that we congregate with believers. And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. You know, the Word of God's very clear about that. But you need to surround yourself with godly people that will speak good things into your life. You need to have friendships and relationships. You need to, you know, life groups are very important. Small groups, just friendships with people that know the Word of God and will speak the Word of God into your life. If you need counsel, listen to me. Stop going to the person sitting across from you at work, or the guy that you're working beside of who knows nothing about the Word of God, asking advice.
That's right.
Stop getting counsel from the ungodly. For the ungodly will give you exactly what they have, ungodly counsel.
That's right.
If you want counsel, get your advice from godly people. Mm-hmm. Receive from those who know. That's why we have a counseling program here at Bethel Worship Center, a counseling center, because we believe that it's the Word of God that is the counsel. It's the Holy Spirit that is the ultimate counselor, and we give you counsel based on the Word of God. You need counsel, go somewhere where you can get good godly counsel. Don't receive from the world their counsel, because they're going to tell you to do things that are not even remotely close to what God's will is. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is I want you to, number three, build up your spirit, walk in the Spirit. Listen to your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10 through 12. Go back to verse 9. But it is written, eyes have not seen or heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows that the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We know the things. We have the Spirit of God, therefore we can know the things of God. Scripture is very clear about this. We have the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us, and He will speak to us the things of God and what is right. Therefore, we must take our soul realm and make a choice. Are we going to choose to hear what He has to say to us and follow Him? Are we going to choose to listen to our flesh, listen to the world, listen to the enemy and choose the enemy's way. So we must train our soul realm to listen to the things of God, to hear the Spirit of God. Develop an awareness of what God is doing and wants to do inside of us. Stand with me. You know, God's speaking to people all the time. When I give a message, I really, you know, I feel like God wants me to share a certain thing. But sometimes I really, and most of the time, I really don't know how it speaks into individual lives. Often people will come up to me and say, you know, that really touched my heart, my mind, my life. And they'll tell me what it meant to them. It was something, you know, totally different than I expected. Absolutely. So that's the interesting thing about the Word of God. That when you share something and you share Scripture with people and you share your thoughts, the Holy Spirit deals with individuals based on where you are and what's happening in your life. And He's calling us. He's calling us to make a greater commitment to Him. A greater desire to serve Him. Today, I hope you've heard my heart in the things that I've shared with you. Because you see, I've made some choices. My choice is to serve the living God, to hold on to His ways, to follow His word in every aspect of my life. I stand here before you today as a pastor of Bethel Worship Center, not because this is my desire, but because it's what I believe God wants me to do. My choices, for the most part, I'm not a perfect man, but for the most part, I have made choices to follow after God's will for my life. That's what I desire for you. I want you to hear what God is saying to you, what God has for you, how God wants you to rise up. If you're the man in your household, how He wants you to rise up and be the head of your household and lead your family into godly things. If you're the wife, how God wants you to love your husband, respect him, raise your children, teach your children, walk in godly ways, veer from the things of the world, be an example to others, that your family would draw together and become everything God wants you to be. The enemy's desire is to divide and conquer. He wants to destroy you. God has a better plan for you. He knows the thoughts that He has for you. They're of peace and prosperity in your life. He's a good God, but you have choices to make. In the 1800s in England, there was a revival going on. The man that was preaching a revival, his name was James Coffey. Most of us probably never even heard of him. But he preached and he taught the Word of God and he was sharing things with people about how they needed to be their brother's keeper and reach out and touch people's lives. And there was a young man in that service that night that had been saved for a couple years, but he didn't have any direction. And suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he made a commitment that night to serve God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and do what God wanted him to do. He gave everything And he decided that night to lay it all on the altar before his God. He rushed forward and he pledged to serve God with everything he had. That night was the beginning of the Salvation Army. William Booth was that man. We don't know what God wants to do with individuals in this congregation. It may not be a Salvation Army that he wants you to start, but I can guarantee you he wants you to make a difference. He wants you to touch individual lives. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Father God, this morning I believe that there's people down here, they're making some commitments to you. They've heard what you've said. They've heard your word, but more important, they've heard your spirit speak directly to them, speak to their heart. And they're making a decision today to serve you in a greater way. Father, thank you for touching those people. Thank you for ministering to them by your spirit and by your power. Today, Father God, I thank you for touching their hearts and ministering life to them individually. Give them the strength, Father, to carry on and to carry out what you've spoken to them. To serve you with all their heart, soul, and mind. To lay it all on the altar before you, Father. Give it all up. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.